article on a website, one of the top seminaries in the Reformed Circle's website, and it was an article on pulpit habits. And it's funny because one habit that they mentioned, and it was just kind of discussing people's their pastors' personal habits that they have when they're behind the pulpit or here. Some tap, some do a funny. One guy talked about how he scuffed up. He had to buy a new pair of shoes every month because he would scuff them up as he was preaching. He would rub his foot against the carpet. But one individual talked about how excited they would get whenever it was time to read when they led worship and they had to read or sing from the hymns, how they would, if they open up on the exact hymn, how excited they would get. And I laugh because as Jarvis, Minister Singleton, announced the second hymn, I was just one page away. So I just wanted to share that with you. Thought it was funny. So it's good to share in that joy in the Psalms. There are a collection of many things, but songs and praises is one of them. And so we share in the praises of those who wrote these Psalms, and most importantly, Christ, who sings them with us. Again, our passage for this evening is the first psalm, Psalm number 1, and I'll read it again. Our main focus would be verses 1 and 2, but we'll read it all for contextual purposes, and we'll also reflect on some of the other verses or the psalm as a whole. So again, Psalm number 1, beginning in verse 1, this is God's own holy word, and it reads, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." Once again, I would have you all bow with me as we go before our God in prayer once more. Our gracious God and our Heavenly Father, Lord, once again, we call on you. We trust in you, Lord, to do all things at this time. Now, Lord, your word is open and you speak. So, God, help us to pay careful and close attention to what thus saith the Lord. Not any man, Lord, not me, but you. God, give us everything that we need right now. We come in thinking we know what we need, Lord, but we pray that you will give us what you know that we need. Bless us to hear. Bless us to see. Bless us to elevate our Lord and Savior. And may you get the glory. Again, it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. As we, go into the second week of September, it helps me to notice kind of how time just seems to fly by, but also how much further we drift away from the summer. And that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing because for myself and many of us, we're able to go back to work. Our students have returned back to school, and that means that our teachers are back in their classrooms. And I pray that everything is going well in those classrooms. For me, to ensure that that's the case, I actually spent the first week, the entire week, with my students, going over, implementing, practicing our procedures and our rules. And we call them expectations in my class. And I have a slideshow that's dedicated to my expectations. And by the time that presentation is over with, when I go to switch on the lights, every student in my room is in absolute, complete silence. And their eyes are wide open. And it's because of this, my expectations are high expectations. Not going to lie. But see, this is what actually is happening when I'm showing my students or telling them about my expectations. What's really going on is that I'm actually showing them the model student. I'm telling my students what the ideal, perfect student looks like. Because that's what I want in my class. Only perfect students. Of course, I won't get that. Psalm 1 gives us a concise and a crafty, beautiful description of the model man. Psalm 1 describes the type of person that you and I, that we should strive to be, to want to be, the ideal man. And it does this by presenting to us the two paths that everyone in this life will travel on, or the two paths that everyone in this life will choose out of. And that's the righteous, or the way of the righteous, and the way of the wicked. In fact, many of your Bibles may give that heading to Psalm 1, the way of the righteous, the way of the wicked, or the two ways. This Psalm 1, what it's doing is telling us that there is the righteous man or person. And this righteous person stands as the model. When it shows us these two paths, it's putting an emphasis on the way of the righteous. And again, thereby showing us that this is the way, this is the person who is the model. And it calls him blessed. Now, in the Hebrew, that word blessed is different. It's translated from different words into our English Old Testament. Here, that word is ashrai. Ashrai. Happiness. Happy. Ashrai ha'ish. Happy is the man. Happy is the man. First thing that the psalm gives us is this. It's the description of the man in the negative. Yeah. That's the first thing that we'll see. It wants to highlight and show us that. The description of this man in the negative. Psalm 1 tells us about the blessed man, the happy or the righteous man, by first telling us what it is that he is not. Or better yet, brothers and sisters, by pointing out what it is that he does not do. Kind of follow me here. In the first verse, we read three things. Number one, the man who is blessed, he does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. The man who is blessed, he does not stand in the way of sinners. And the man who is blessed or happy, well, he does not sit in the seat of scoffers. The Psalms are lyric poems, and the poetic devices that we find in Hebrew, there's meter, kind of like a rhythm, like English poetry. But there's no rhyme in Hebrew. Instead, there's parallelism. There's parallelism. And for the sake of time, what I'm going to do is just kind of outline some of the parallelism that we see occurring in this psalm. So in verse 1, we have synthetic parallelism. And that's actually not parallelism at all. And the best way to describe it, because it's so broad, is that if you don't identify that parallel as synonymous or antithetical, two more that we'll talk about in just a moment, then it's probably synthetic. Verse 1 says, blessed is the man. And it goes on to tell us about this blessed man by telling us something else. Again, he does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. He doesn't stand in the way of the sinner. And he does not sit in the seat of scoffers. But then verse 2 has a synonymous parallelism. In verse 2, we read, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And it repeats that using different terms. On his law, he meditates day and night. In other words, again, Therefore, you see his delight is in the law of the Lord because he meditates on it day and night. Synonymous parallelism. Then in verse 3, we have emblematic parallelism. There's an image showing or imagery with the tree and the shaft, the shaft. And then in verse 5, we have again synonymous parallelism where we read, therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Again, just restatement, stating again what was already said. And then finally, in verse 6, there's antithetical parallelism. And we read in verse 6, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous. And in contrast, or the opposite of that, antithetical parallelism says the opposite, but the way of the wicked will perish. Now, what may also stand out, maybe a little more easier than a parallelisms here, is the at least the slightest progression that we see. We see it with the verbs used in verse 1, walk, sit, or walk, stand, sit, and somewhat with the nouns, we see wicked, sinner, and then the scoffer. Now, most scholars would agree that that word or the terms wicked and sinner, they're interchangeable. They actually mean the same thing. But there's definitely a progression from the wicked or the sinner to the scoffer. And that's a little more easier to identify. So what is it that this psalm is saying so far? When we take together the progression that we see of one who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, he doesn't sit at the seat of the with scoffers, and he doesn't stand in the way of sinners. And when we see the parallels, what is it that the psalm is first trying to tell us? Well, number one, it's telling us that the blessed man is the man who has not fallen into the trap of this world. Follow me. In a fallen world, it has become what we say normal to sin. It has become normal to sin. In fact, it's the one who doesn't follow the ways of the world that is often mocked and called weird. You see, that you can understand this if you think about maybe your children or yourself in school. I teach, so I see it all the time. I see a student who may come in and the rules say that their shirts are supposed to be tucked in, and that should be the standard, the normal standard. But there are those who don't want to follow the rules. And so it's become so normal to break the rules that the student who tucks in his shirt is ridiculed and he feels ashamed for doing the right thing. That's what we find in this world. See, that's why it's easy to fall into the trap of the world, brothers and sisters, because of the nature of this world. And this is what that progression looks like. First, it starts off this way, by walking in the counsel of the ungodly, right? You're kind of just passing through life and you're picking up on some of the advice of the sinner. Recently, my brother, he showed me a video of Louis Farrakhan. And he was actually on what was supposed to be a Christian television network. We use that term loosely. But on this broadcast, he spoke about, I guess, the turmoils that people are facing socially today. And he went on to say that the Christians or the pastors, they ought to be ashamed of themselves. The Christian pastors ought to be ashamed of themselves because they try to put their cowardice on Jesus. He said Jesus was not a coward. The forgiveness that you hear about, listen, he was not about that. And you pastors ought to be ashamed of yourselves because the people in your community are being troubled. They're facing turmoil. And you're talking about forgiving. See, that's the counsel of the wicked. Because I saw many people there who would, I hope, if they called themselves Christians, profess faith in Christ. Yet they nodded and they clapped. And even the pastor who was on stage with him kind of shook his head. He felt uneasy, you could tell. But maybe he started to think, you know what, you're right. And I saw the manifestation of this because secondly, we talk about the standing in the way of the sinner. We say it starts off as just taking the advice of the wicked. But then you kind of start to settle down and get used to their ways. Gossiping doesn't become or doesn't seem as bad anymore. Cheating and lying, they become little things. And I said I saw the manifestation of this because, again, someone brought it to my attention, a video of a local pastor who I heard kind of quoting what I saw from Farrakhan on that network. And this guy pastors what's supposed to be, again, a Christian church. And he told his people that forgiveness, we're too forgiving. We're too forgiving. See, we go from kind of just walking and passing and taking the advice to kind of now just settling in it, to where Christians who were saved by grace, forgiven by a holy God, start to think that they have a limitation to their forgiveness. And then it goes from there and progresses again. And then by now we're sitting and we're comfortable in sin. We're sitting at the seat of scoffers. And those aren't just the sinners who miss the mark. These are people who ridicule, who mock righteousness. As we read in the following verse, where we see that there's delight in the law, the scoffers, they mock the good things. Again, making it weird to be right. That's the first thing. The blessed man, however, he's not like. And if the Apostle Paul was preaching Psalm 1, he would probably say about the blessed man that this man has not been conformed to the world. That's the picture that we get with the blessed man. He goes from telling us what he does not do. And our second point that we want to look at is the positive description of what the man does do. Okay, so we first see the description of this man in the negative. He's a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. He doesn't stand in the way of the sinner. And he dare not get comfortable and scorn and mock what is right. Amen. But what is it that he does do? Well, here's the positive description that this psalm gives us of the man. And there seems to be some sort of parallelism again between verses 1 and 2. Along with the parallelism that we already find in those verses by themselves. You understand what I'm saying? There's parallelism in verse 1 and verse 2. But then if we take those verses together as a whole, verse 1 and verse 2 kind of parallel each other as well. And I would guess or venture to say that it's antithetical. It's the opposite of what was stated. But you would think that after listing what it is that the man doesn't do, the parallel would go on to say in the positive what it is that he doesn't do, right? It said that what it is that he does do. It said that he doesn't walk in the way of the sinner. He doesn't, or the wicked. He doesn't stand in the way of the sinner. He doesn't sit at the seat of the scoffer. You would think that the parallel would now tell us what way he does walk in. He walks in the way of the righteous, or he stands in the way of the godly, and he sits at the seat of those who are holy. But it doesn't do that. It doesn't tell us any positive action at all, brothers and sisters. This is what it says. It simply says that he delights in the law of the Lord. There's a parallel. It tells us what he doesn't do, but then when it goes on to talk in the positive, it doesn't give us an action at all, a physical action at all. Brothers and sisters, again, this contrast,
is not a physical action. Notice what it is. It is a condition of his heart. You understand what I'm trying to say? Hopefully you're getting it by now. When was the last time, I'm going to ask you, that you flipped on your delight switch? So that what you did not delight in, all you did was just change your mind and you begin to delight in it. If we could do that, I'm sure Minister Singleton would agree with me. It would be easier to feed the babies their vegetables at night. Right? Just flip the switch and they go from not liking the greens to liking them. Or better yet, work. Right? Wouldn't it be easy to just, that morning when you don't feel like getting up, when you're tired of that same old job, doesn't pay enough, just flip on this, just change your delight and begin to delight in that job. But you see, it's not that easy, is it? It's not that simple, because by nature, brothers and sisters, we delight in what we delight in. And now here's where you ask yourself, well, what is it that I do delight in? Romans 3 tells us that there is none who are good, not even one, right? We don't seek God, and we surely don't delight in God's law. By their fallen nature, they are opposed to it. By their fallen nature, they're opposed to it. As verse 1 said, they mock it. And the difference that we see, or that the psalm tries to highlight between the blessed man and the sinner, is simply the difference in their hearts, brothers and sisters. Because of that, they behave in two different ways. Understand that? Because the blessed man has a different heart condition, he does not walk in the same way that the wicked walks in. Only because of the difference in their heart. Because of the heart of the blessed man, the happy man, because of his heart condition, is the reason that he does not stand in the same way that sinners stand. Because of his heart condition, he doesn't sit at the seat of scoffers and mock what should be delighted in. And I hope by now, again, that you're starting to figure this out. I hope you're starting to see where we're kind of going with this. So finally, we'll get to our third point. And the psalm, I think, thirdly, kind of prompts us to ask this question. Okay, first it shows us the negative description of this man, the model man, the ideal man, what every man should esteem to be. And it shows us the description of him in a negative. But then it goes on to give us a positive description. And that positive description does not include any works or deeds. It just tells us about his heart. And so thirdly, I think the psalm would have us ask ourselves, which man am I? Ask yourself, as you look at Psalm 1, ask yourself. There's only two. We said that the psalm paves out only two ways in life. There's no third way. There's no middle ground. Jesus himself gave us two paths. The narrow and the wide path. And so there's two ways. There are two men. Which one are you? Which one am I? Three answers to this quiz. A, it's the blessed man. Maybe you're him. Or B, maybe you're the wicked man. And then there's a third option, C. All of the above. So which man are you? Are you A? You B? Are you C? And I'm going to do something that I don't allow in my class. Okay, I'm going to let you see the answer key. I'm going to let you see my answer and cheat off of me. Because brothers and sisters, my prayer is that we get this right. But depending on the individual, I will warn you, answers may vary. Now, if you say that, hey, I'm B, you could be right. Because all of us are born after Adam. And as we know, Adam did not remain the model, ideal, perfect man. He sinned. And we know that his sin has affected us. And so you may be right. You may be that wicked person, but I hope. Well, we'll get back to that. And then you may say, well, maybe I'm A. And again, you could be right. You could be getting really close, or you may be way in left field. It all depends on how you arrived to that answer. Those two will kind of revisit. But for any of us in here who call ourselves Christians, we've been called out of darkness into light. Christ is our joy, our hope. If that's you, then your answer should be C. Yeah, I'm both of these people. But it starts off, and I think this psalm, we're going to walk through it again. And this psalm kind of meets us right where we're at. Because brothers and sisters, before we can call ourselves the blessed man here, we have to understand that no, we actually start off as the wicked. You see, Psalm 1, again, it meets us where we're at. Number one, blessed is the man. That's not us. But here we are, who walk not in the counsel of us, the wicked. Who stands not in the way of the sinners, us. And who sits or doesn't sit at the seat with the scoffers. So there's a blessed man. The Hebrew for that word is ish, haish. And it actually means one certain specific individual. So when I say the model man, that's what this psalm is showing us. Blessed is, happy is this particular man. But that's not us. Not as we are, brothers and sisters. I know we like to read into the psalms and find ourselves there. We'll get there, but by now, I pray that you see Christ here first. I pray that you would see the blessed man and desire what the joy that he has. Because the happiness that it speaks about isn't an excitement that you feel when everything's going right. Happy is the man. It's explaining a man who has a joy unspeakable even when everything around him is wrong. That's the man who's blessed. He's happy in that sense. And so as we walk through, we see blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, stands in the way of the sinners, sit at the seat of scoffers. Just for a moment, turn with me to the book of Hebrews. We're going to look at chapter 1 and verse 9. Now notice what it says, speaking of Christ. Speaking of Christ, you, Christ, have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness, happiness, beyond your companions. Now, we know that the writer of Hebrews is referring to Christ, of course. And it's funny how it reflects the blessed man that we have here in Psalms. It's no coincidence. But as we go on a little further, turn with me back to Psalms 1. As we go back, we notice that there is a blessed man. And who, brothers and sisters, would you say is a blessed man who never walked in the counsel of the wicked? Maybe some of us are slow to listen to sinners, maybe. But I'm sure you've had your taxes done and you've taken some advice from the wicked. I'm sure that there's been days where you too did not feel like forgiving and you took your cues not from the word of God, but you took your cues from the world and did not forgive. I'm sure we have not, and we don't, consistently walk in the way of the righteous. This can't be talking about us. As we go on, it says that his delight is in the law of the Lord. Who is the blessed man whose delight is in the law of the Lord so much that he meditates on it day and night, not just when trouble comes? Well, we think of Christ as he's out in the wilderness being tempted by Satan, and he's hungry. And as he surely could turn a stone into a loaf of bread, he makes it clear that his delight, his food, which he prefers, is the word of God. And so he meditates on it day and night. Christ delighted in his word. We go on to read that this blessed man is like a tree planted by the streams of water. Christ became a man. Aren't you glad that he became a man so that he can qualify as this blessed man? And as a man, he didn't depend on his deity to defeat Satan. No, Christ was able to remain a perfect man, as Adam should have been, because he utilized all the resources that he had in God the Father, his Word, and the Spirit. And so this man, Christ, the blessed man, was planted like a tree, and he got his supply from another source. But brothers and sisters, in Christ, we do become the blessed. And when we get to this next verse, there's a switch. And that's the good news. We are the wicked at the beginning. We are not the blessed man, the model man. But when our faith is put in Christ, when God changes our hearts so that we can delight in the law of the Lord, because none of us can do it on our own. When that does happen, brothers and sisters, there's a switch. And Christ becomes, though he wasn't wicked, he becomes as the wicked. And he didn't stand in the judgment on the cross. He didn't stand on the judgment. He was blown away like the chaff. And we stood and we stand as the righteous. Verse 6, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Christ starts off as the blessed man here. And we start off as the wicked. And as things progress, I pray that we see that, oh, what great joy it is that we are counted as the happy, the blessed, because we delight in his law, because God has changed our hearts. And so now Christ makes us the tree planted, and we get our source from him. And he becomes the wicked who stands in God's judgment, takes our judgment for us. And so we, as we read in John, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him, brothers and sisters, will not perish, but we will have everlasting life. I pray that we see Christ in this psalm, Psalm 1, because he fulfills it. We said that it's a psalm that shows us the model man, and that model man is not us. It does not tell us that if we don't walk in that counsel, if we don't stand in the way of the sinner, if we don't sit at the seat with scoffers, then we can make ourselves the blessed man. Because it won't happen. But it does tell us that when our delight is on God's law, and God has promised and he has given us new hearts that can delight in it, just by that delight, just because of our joy in the Torah, law, instruction, which is grounded in the covenant, because of our joy in that covenant promise, we are considered the blessed. See Christ as the blessed. See ourselves as the wicked. And then because of him, we can then see ourselves as now being blessed. What does this mean for us, brothers and sisters? I know we like to hear, do this. Maybe if I told you what to take from here and do, go and do, be a little more excited. But I pray that your hearts are moved to hear that this model man that we see here, this perfect, righteous man, is now counted as us in him. I hope that moves you. With that said, let us bow. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, oh Lord, what joy it is to see in this psalm a man who is called happy. Lord, you were a man of sorrows, but God, Lord Jesus, your joy was in that cross because you saw the salvation of your people, and so you truly are the blessed and happy man. And God, we see ourselves as the wicked. You lived among wicked men, but you did not sit, stand, or take any advice from them, Lord. Instead, you took their punishment. And you turned this psalm around. So bless us, God, to take joy in seeing you here so that we can see ourselves here. Bless us now, Lord, as we close. Give us strength. We thank you for this and all things. And it's in Jesus' mighty, sweet, precious name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.